society expect women to be treated fairly and with dignity when the media culture so often continues to portray them as mere sexual objects? And not just women, but increasingly young girls as well. That's the concern of Teresa Tamio, a leading Catholic author and TV show host in the US, who has written about the pervasiveness of contemporary media and its often negative impact upon our society. In her latest book entitled Extreme Makeover, Tamio discusses this issue and talks about how women and everyone can counter the toxic images and messages bombarded by today's media and instead embrace the truth about their human dignity. I asked Tamio what first gave her the idea for writing this book.
It was my own journey back to the Catholic Church, a revert to the faith, and it was also just some of the media issues that were going on in America at the time, where we were seeing a lot of extreme makeover shows. And I thought, well, there's a lot of extreme makeover shows dealing with visuals on the outside of how a person should improve their home, improve the way they look or the way they dress. But there weren't any really solid writings or books on having extreme makeover from the inside out. So I took the name, from all the different extreme makeover shows that are out there and applied it to spirituality and Catholicism for women.
But one of the messages I gather you're trying to get across is this sort of increasing, almost ubiquitous portrayal of women in the media as sexual objects. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, when did this really start to take off? Was it with the advent of reality television, or was it already starting before
I think
that?
It was long before that. I mean, in the research I've done, and this is my third book now. In my first book, I wrote a lot about the objectification and the over-sexualization of women. But I believe it's been happening ever since, actually, the mass media started to explode in the early 60s and 70s. Ironically, at the same time when radical feminism and the women's movement was moving forward, so was this idea of still keeping women out there as objects and in terms of the media and advertising and whatnot. So I think it's been around for a while. And I think it's getting worse, not better.
You think it's getting worse? That was going to be my next question, in fact. Why is it getting worse?
Well, because I think a couple of reasons. First of all, we have many more media outlets. So we're seeing it more simply because there's a more presence of the media in very much more pervasive ways in our lives. You know, we have all these different things that we didn't have, let's say, even 5-10 years ago that are available to us to see, have images coming at us. And then I also think because sex sells in the media. I've been in the media my whole life. I was a secular journalist, and sex sells in news stories, sex sells in programs, so part of it is marketing and money. But I also think there's a continued disrespect for a woman, who she is, and I think that has a lot to do with my personal opinion and my own research and study is that it's a rejection of church teaching on the dignity of the human person, on the rejection of humana vitae, the acceptance of abortion and contraception, and I think it's gotten much worse because of that. There's this attitude that we should be giving ourselves away.
But do you think people, particularly women, are beginning to realize the harm this is causing by making women believe that their self-worth is solely tied to their looks, that they're sexual objects?
I think they're starting to get it. I think there are a lot of women, what I'm finding when I go out and share my story and when I talk about coming back to the church, and I think a lot of women are realizing that what they're going after, whether it's a certain appeal in their looks or whether it's a job or something secular, they're realizing that that's, not what they thought it was going to be. I thought it was a brass ring to have everything material-wise, having the job, having the money and whatnot, having the house, and then I found myself being very empty. And I think the same thing is true for women who are seeking something where I have to be a size 2 or I have to look a certain way and have a certain breast size or whatever. That when they get to that point and their life isn't perfect and they aren't as happy as they thought they would be, then they realize there's got to be something more. So I think slowly, but it takes a self-realization, so it's a hard thing to come to.
One of the most disturbing things also is this media message is reaching younger and younger audiences.
Right.
So we now have, prepubescent girls who are already obsessed about their looks, mm-hmm. who are dressing in a very sort of rather overtly sexy way. And this has also been encouraged, isn't it, in the media?
Yeah, it's encouraged. And actually, the American Psychological Association put out a fascinating report in the United States 4 years ago, 2007, called The Sexualization of Girls. And they were looking at younger girls and they were talking about these messages and how they're targeting younger and younger ages. The average age for a girl in the United States to start dieting is actually 8 years old. And most young girls, let's say 8-9 years old, are using some sort of beauty products, whether it's lipstick for little girls, hair products, things like that. So there's a definite message that's going after these young girls. And you see shows like Toddlers and Tiaras in the United States where these little girls are dressed up to look like 20, 30-year-old women strutting across the stage in these beauty pageants. So it not only is the problem getting worse, but we're also seeing it getting worse at a younger level in in terms of these younger girls.
It must be tough, though, to try and get out a counter message, because it's really swimming against the prevailing tide in our Western culture, isn't
it? Yeah, but that's what the church has been doing, you know, since her existence. So I guess I'm just kind of I'm in good company. It is hard, but at the same time, I think what's really interesting is that the message is so appreciated. And I speak mostly in Catholic circles, but I also do a lot of work still in the secular world in the United States. And when I speak in secular high schools and parents are there, parents are so grateful to hear someone else talking about it, because the kids don't want to listen to them, but if they hear someone, you know, else speaking about it, maybe it'll ring a bell. But it's a hard message to get out, because, as you said, the culture is so, you know, in our face now with the media. But at the same time, it's a message that people are longing for, and I think that's why the book has only been out for a month and it's doing extremely well, and that's why I think I get such a strong response when I give these talks around the country.
I know that you've also campaigned against online porn, and that's become a billion-dollar industry. I mean, it's really exploded. What about some of the negative effects this is causing? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, well, I think with pornography, what we're seeing is you've got now in the United States alone, it's a $12 to $20 billion industry per year, and much of that comes from internet porn. And what you're seeing is a direct connection between pornography and the sex industry, especially with sex trafficking of women and young girls. So that's one area. You see the breakdown of marriages and addictions within marriages, both now mostly men, but women, that's on the rise as well. So it has a direct impact on family life, on marriage, and then, of course, even, you know, on this horrible crime of sex trafficking, because they have to, there's this demand now because of pornography. There's this demand for young girls and women to do these things one-on-one that a man sees on a video. So, you know, it's all interconnected, so it's making the problem worse.
And it's also highly addictive, isn't it?
I mean,
there's, you know, people of all age groups and even young teenagers who become addicted to watching
porn. The psychologists say it's actually more addictive than crack cocaine in terms of the type of things that happen in a person's brain when you're actually viewing pornography, and especially for men, because men are very visual and they react differently to visual stimuli. So, yeah, the studies are there, the information is there, and people can sense that there's something wrong out there in the world, but sometimes they can't put their finger on it. And so that's why I decided to put this book together with a lot of the statistics on pornography, on media influence, and then an action plan on how people can make a difference.
And were you a bit frightened when you looked at those statistics?
No, because I've been researching it. I think when I first started researching this about 10 years ago, it's been longer than that. Now, I first started speaking on media awareness issues probably about 15 years ago when I was still in the media, full time in the secular media as a newswoman. But when I started to do the research back then, and again, this was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was bad. It's much worse now in the terms of there's so much information, there's so many studies. And what I think is fascinating is that the majority of the research comes from the secular world, not from, you know, a Catholic or another Christian institution. It's these groups like the American Psychological Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, that have been warning about this for years. So the research is there. It's overwhelming, but I'm glad it's there because it helps us. I think it strengthens us as Catholics to say, look, the church is not all wet. The church has a point here. When you move away from the dignity of the human person, all of these things are going to start to implode. So
what are the solutions you're proposing in your book?
Well, I think first and foremost, the book is a very Catholic book, and you have to know your faith, and you have to know what the church teaches. And I think secondly, we can't be afraid to engage the culture, and we have to be aware of our own media habits. I tell people to take what I call a media reality check, or it's a spiritual spa chapter where I tell women to go in and, you know, how you go to confession and you come out feeling squeaky clean. That's part of the plan. But really to take a look at what you're doing in your own life in terms of the media influences that are coming at you. Look around. How much TV are you watching? How much you're letting your family watch? And what are you watching? That's number one. So start in your own home. And number two, be willing to get involved in groups like the United States. We have many wonderful activist groups, including Morality and Media, which fights pornography. We have the Parents Television Council, which is a good group of people, that secular institution or group organization that does a really good job of educating people on these issues and is kind of like a pro bono organization. Well, they'll go to Washington and they'll fight for federal communications issues and things like that. So we have to confront it on the home front, but also in the culture. So it's a two-pronged approach.
And when it comes to the Catholic Church, how much are you harnessing its efforts to help fight this sort of tide of the toxic message that's often being portrayed in the media?
Well, I tell people, of course, to turn to the church, because the church has got great teachings on this. And the church has been on the front lines in terms of telling, I mean, Pope Paul VI said that, you know, the church will be sorry before God if we don't use the media and use it wisely. So I think the church's approach is beautiful, because the church doesn't say throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, we're here at Vatican Radio because the church believes in communications. You know, we had Inter Mirifica, we have all these great World Communications Day statements, you know, we have all this information that's that's out there regarding what the church says and how we should use the media. So I also, one of the biggest things I do is say, look at the church, look to the church. The church has been around for 2,000 years. She knows what she's talking about, especially about the media.
I was talking to Teresa Tamio, an American Catholic author and TV show host.